Good morning. It's good for us to be able to come together this morning to worship God, and I appreciate the presence of everyone. And we have an opportunity to be together as brethren, and I'm encouraged that we can do that. This morning, we want to answer the question, why did Jesus teach in parables? Why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did he use parables? And the key to that question is why. A lot of times, we talk about what Jesus taught in the parables. We study the parables, and if there's a portion of the Gospels that we give attention to, that would be the parables. We know many of them. We study them in our Bible classes, and those are good lessons about the kingdom of God. And if individuals know anything about the Bible, a lot of times they'll know about one of the parables, like the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you were to ask your friends, they may not know much about the Bible, but they know about the parable of the Good Samaritan, something along those lines. Parables are something that people know about, but this morning we want to answer the question, why? Now in the scripture reading, if you look in Matthew chapter 13, Eric was reading in verses 34 and 35, but if you back up to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, you'll notice that that question is asked by the disciples themselves. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So that's the very question that we want to look at this morning in our lesson. We're not going to be covering various parables. We're not going to look at any one particular parable and what it means. But why did Jesus use this method? What was the method and why did he use that method? And we're going to see at the end of the lesson that it is a very practical lesson for us today to keep our hearts and minds open to the truths of God's Word. Parables comprise approximately one-third of Jesus' recorded teachings. That's a lot. That's a lot of material. And so about 30% of what he said was in the form of a parable. And there are over 40 parables of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. We're familiar with the parable of the sower or the parable of the Good Samaritan and so forth. But why did Jesus teach using this method? It's a method. Other times he used a question and answer method. Other times it was just like preaching a sermon or a discourse in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, there are different ways in which Jesus taught. One was to tell a story or an illustration. Why did he do that? It served a purpose. And that's what we want to look at this morning. And in the process of looking at that, we're going to see the importance of keeping our hearts open to the truths of God's Word. Now, what is a parable? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. On that day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him great multitudes, so that he entered into a boat and sat, and all the multitude stood on the beach. And so the boat was like his platform or podium, and he could get away from the crowd a little bit. They could look out there on the water just a little ways out and hear him. And so that's, he spoke to them. But in verse 3, he spake to them many things in parables. What is a parable? The word parable is actually a transliterated word. It's not a translated word, it's a transliterated word. What that means is for every Greek letter, and you can see in your outline this morning, for every Greek letter, there's an English letter that corresponds to that. So the Greek word parabole, and then the English word parable, with the exception of one letter, it's basically the same word, right? So for each Greek letter, there's an English corresponding letter. That's called a transliterated word. In fact, there are several of those in the New Testament. Apostle is a transliterated word. Baptism is a transliterated word. Angel is a transliterated word, and so forth. There's several of those in the Scripture. It means literally to throw or cast alongside. Para. We have paragraph, parachute, different para words in our language. It means beside, something near. And then bole. What do you do with a ball? What do you do with a ball? You throw a ball, right? So to throw, to cast alongside of. So a parable is a story that illustrates one thing that is thrown along something else, to place beside or to place one thing beside another for the purpose of comparison. And so a parable then is a story that illustrates by comparing, using comparison or analogy. Here is a spiritual truth, and alongside the spiritual truth is a story that illustrates that spiritual truth. It's a teaching aid. We would call it an illustration today, where the illustration is cast alongside the truth being taught. And the purpose then is this. You take something that is known, a story, an illustration. The sower went out to sow. Everybody knows what a sower is. Everybody knows what seed is. And so the people there on the beach heard stories that were known to them. A farmer, you know, leaven, you know, that type of thing. It was the known cast alongside the unknown. So the unknown would be some spiritual truth that Jesus is trying to teach. And so here's something that they don't yet know, and then you put beside it something that is known to help them understand, so that the unknown then can become known. Some have described parables as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so here is a heavenly spiritual truth that is trying to be taught, and Jesus would put an earthly story beside it. I would add that these are real stories. These are not fictional. It's not fable or fictional or fantasy. These are real persons, places, and things. And they're simply used to illustrate. And Jesus was not the first one to use them. We have some parables in the Old Testament. Isaiah told a parable one time in Isaiah chapter 5 about Israel being like a vineyard being planted. And do you remember Nathan? He came to David and he said, "Thou art the man." He wanted to point out that David had sinned with Bathsheba. And he told the story about a man who made a feast, and he took from a poor man his ewe lamb and used it in the feast instead of his own. And then Nathan said, you're like that man who robbed the other man's little lamb. And so that story illustrates David's sin with Bathsheba. So there's even a few parables in the Old Testament. But Jesus, of course, is known for his parables. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. "Another parable set he before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like.'" Underscore that in your Bible, like. That's the whole point of a parable, where you take something and you're trying to say, this is like something else. A parable is an analogy or an illustration where you're trying to point out where one thing is like another thing. And what's interesting about this verse is, "The kingdom of heaven is like." That really is the main thrust of Jesus' parables, to teach people about the kingdom of heaven. The main point in Jesus' parables concerns the kingdom of heaven. There is another kingdom. It's not earthly in nature. God is the king. Jesus is the king's son. The gospel is the kingdom law. Every kingdom has to have a law. Kingdom citizens are called disciples, and so forth. And so they were familiar with earthly kings and earthly laws and earthly territory. He wants to teach them about the kingdom of heaven, a spiritual realm. There is a whole other kingdom realm that we need to be a part of. And these parables illustrated that thing. The word parable is actually found in the New Testament in 48 different passages. And I've listed them there in your outline. And I wanted to hasten to say that this is not all of the places where the parables are found. It's just where the word parable is found. So this is not a list of all of the parables, but where the word parable is found in the New Testament. And with the exception of two places in the book of Hebrews, it's always translated parable. In the book of Hebrews, the context is not where the Hebrew writer is telling a story, but he's pointing out how the Old Testament tabernacle is likened unto some things involving Christ. And so the word figure is used there instead of parable. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to go down through the text at least down through the first 23 verses, and let's learn why Jesus taught in parables. And we're going to learn this morning the importance of keeping our hearts and minds open to the truths that God gives us. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Well, the answer begins back in chapter 13 and verse 1. We read the first three verses where there was a crowd gathered and Jesus taught them in parables. Point number one, why did Jesus teach in parables? Because Jesus was teaching to a mixed multitude. We find in verse 2 that a great multitude is gathered together, and in verse 3 he taught them in parables. Parables were used when there were multitudes of different kinds of people. Some wanted the Word of God, some didn't. We need to stop and think about something here for a minute. Here is Jesus teaching, and you're going to have people who are interested. You're going to have people who just walk up. Maybe they're just curious. They have no interest really in hearing and obeying, but they're there. There's another crowd there. Maybe they're walking by and they look down there by the seaside and they see some people gathered and they just walk down there. They want to see what is going on. They're not necessarily there to hear and obey. They're just there. So you've got to understand that Jesus would often talk to people. Some wanted the word, some didn't. Some were very antagonistic, like the scribes and Pharisees. They would be standing there in the crowd. They had no intention of wanting the word of God. But they're there. So what do you do with that kind of a crowd? Well, one thing that Jesus did was he taught in parables in order to separate from these great multitudes those who want the truth and those who don't. Don't assume that just because we're all sitting together this morning or in any kind of a group that everybody wants the Word of God. We don't need to assume that. Sometimes people are gathered together for a number of different reasons, and some of it does not involve wanting truth. And so a parable will separate those who want the Word of God from those who don't. That's the first thing that we need to understand. The second thing that we need to understand is look at verses 4 through 8. The very first parable on this occasion has to do with the very thing that we're talking about this morning, and that is the parable of the sower focuses on the heart of a person, whether or not he wants to receive the Word of God or reject the Word of God. And that's the point of this morning's lesson. Some people receive it, some people don't. So look at verse 4. When he taught this parable, verse 4, the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they had not much earth. And straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now notice at this point, he doesn't say anything about the explanation. Look down at verse 19. We know what the explanation is. We get to read chapter 13. We get to hear the beginning part of the day and later in the day, but later in the day, the explanation is not given to the multitude. It's given to the disciples and a few who want it. Verse 19. That verse 19 is not given to the whole multitude. Okay? So, we know what the parable of the sower means as far as the details are concerned, but the crowd did not hear all of that. And we're going to talk about why in just a minute. Okay? So Jesus is going to single out the disciples later and give them the explanation, but at this point he doesn't give the explanation to the crowd. All they hear is a sower went forth to sow. And they're standing there going, okay, Jesus is telling a story about a man who plants seed. Okay? And some of those people in the crowd have planted seed before. And so at that point, there's nothing new to them. He hadn't said anything that they hadn't already known. So why did he do that? Well, let's keep looking at some things. Look at verse 9. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The third thing that we need to understand in answering this question is that Jesus warns about one's ears. He's not talking about the physical ears that are on the side of your head. He's not talking about those things on the side of your head. He's talking about, do you have ears that will understand and perceive and learn and obey and that type of thing. If you have ears, you need to be hearing. He's not talking about audibly hearing words. He's not talking. You hear my words this morning, they're going into your ears. Your brain is registering what those words mean. He's not talking about audible sounds. He's talking about, as we're going to see when we get to verses 14 and 15, perception, understanding, hearing the Word of God and obeying it. And so the third thing that he says is that there needs to be understanding and obeying among you. This actually is a principle that Jesus laid down in other places. If you look on your outline, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, when he was talking about John the Baptist, and in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 35, he also brings up this point about he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so we need to understand that it wasn't just on this occasion. He's talking about you need to listen with the intent of understanding and obeying what I am saying. So all of these things are letting us know that Jesus is wanting to separate in the crowd those who physically hear from those who physically hear and also want to know and obey. Then look at verse 10. Here comes the disciples' question. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? If you'll just hold your hand there and turn over to the parallel account in Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. Apparently there were a few others that wanted to know as well. Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. And this also lets us know that Jesus was alone when he gave the explanation. You see, you can be in a crowd and all you're going to hear is a parable. Okay? If you don't care about anything else, you're just going to walk away. Well, that was an interesting story, but I need to go home and get something to eat. Or you will stay and talk with Jesus more about some things because you want to hear and obey. Look at Mark chapter 10, chapter 4 and verse 10, the parallel account. And when he was alone, underscore that, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parables. So there were a few people right around him in addition to the disciples. They wanted to know more. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Some people want more, some people don't. And so when he's alone, he gives the explanation to those who want more. We're beginning to see that parables were used by Jesus to separate the truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. Truth seekers from those people who don't want truth. Okay? So there were those who wanted to know more. Now, turn back with me to Matthew chapter 13 and let's keep coming down through the text. Verse 11. Verse 11. Why do you speak in parables? The disciples asked Jesus, and that's the question that we asked this morning. So let's look at it. Verse 11. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, he said unto them, this is very important. Underscore this in your Bible. He said unto them, he's not speaking to all the multitude any longer. He's not speaking to the multitude. He's speaking to those who are about him and the 12 when they are alone. When they are alone. He said unto them, unto you, not the whole multitude, he's now alone. He's with a smaller group. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, if we stop at this point, it looks like Jesus is being unfair. It looks like Jesus is being mean. He wants to tell the truth to a little group, but to the rest of them, he doesn't want to give them the truth. He just wants to give the truth to a little old group. It looks like he's being prejudiced. It looks like he's just being mean, but that's not the case. He's giving to the smaller group more because they ask for more. They want more. And that's very important to this morning's lesson. So they ask him for more, and he gives them more. So unto you, that's the small group of the 12 and a few others, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, that's the multitude that he was talking to in general earlier. To them, it is not given. Now, turn over on your outline on page 2, and you're going to notice that the you are the believing disciples. There's a few others, not just the 12. And they are the ones, in verse 12, let's keep reading. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. So let's look at it. Unto you, that's the small group. They are the ones that have, verse 12. The you, verse 11, is the small group. They have some things, verse 12, and they're going to be given more things, okay? Them, in verse 11, is the crowd. And verse 12, they are the have-nots. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. You, the small group, you have truth, and you will be having it in more abundance. You'll get more truth. They, the big crowd who are just there because some of them might be bored, they don't have anything else to do that day, I don't go to work for another hour, this guy's talking down by the seaside, I might as well just stand around for a little bit, I've got some time. They are the have-nots. And even what they do have, what little truth that they might have, it's going to be taken away because they're not interested in doing anything else with it. And so, the you, or the haves, these are the believing ones. The ones who want truth and want more truth. The they and the have-nots, they are the unbelieving multitudes. Jesus is not being unfair. He's not being prejudicial. He's not a respecter of persons where he gives one person one thing and another person he doesn't want to give them that. He came to give truth to everyone. But he used a method, listen carefully, he used a method that would separate those who want truth from those who don't. And a parable was that method. It was a method of teaching that made you say, hey, I want more. If I really want more, I'm going to go to Jesus. Give me more. Give me the explanation. Tell me the details of this. But if I don't want that, Jesus is not going to spoon feed me. Jesus is not going to spoon feed me and cram it down my throat. And here, I'm going to make you become a believer. He doesn't do that. He throws it out there. He uses a method of teaching. And you have to show some initiative. I have to show some initiative to come to him or not. And some did and some didn't. Some in the multitude do not want to hear and understand. They don't want more. Some in the multitude do. So let's look at it. This is what I call God's law of addition and subtraction. Look at verse 12. God's law of addition and subtraction. In fact, it's not only here, but it's also in Matthew 25 with regard to the parable of the man with the talents. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. The one who has truth and he wants more of it, God's going to make sure that he gets more. Like the five-talent man and the two-talent man. Okay, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. If I don't want more in time, I'm going to lose even what I have. And you know, this is true even outside the spiritual realm. It's true in our own personal lives. For example, if you have a particular talent, let's say that you're in school, and sometimes I will see this with musicians, sometimes you'll see it with athletics and other kinds of things, that when you're in school and you're really playing your horn every day, boy, you are great. But 30 years later, if you haven't played it in a long time, you still know how to move the fingers and all of that, but you're very rusty. And so you lose what you have. And the same is true with running or throwing a ball or something like that. When you're in the thick of it, just doing it over and over again, you're really good at it. But if you don't use it a lot, you lose it. And people do that with knowledge. They do it with maybe a talent that they have. What about, did you have to learn a foreign language in high school? Did you have to learn a foreign language to get a credit in maybe Spanish or something like that? Well, when you were taking the class, you could say the words, right? You could say the words and form the sentences and all that. Can you do it now? No. Why? Because we didn't use it all through life, you see. So if you don't use it, even that which you have, right, will be taken away. So we see that in other areas of our life, and it's true with God's Word. And so if we want truth, we'll get more and it will be added to us. If we don't, even that which we have in time will be taken away from us. And not only that, but not just Bible knowledge, but if we're not using our talents in the church, serving, being active and serving, down the road we find some people just drop out. They quit. They become unfaithful, or they're just bench warmers. They're not active. They're not really doing anything. Have you ever heard brethren say this? I used to get up there and do that, and I used to do this, and I used to that. And when I was younger, I would volunteer for that, and now they're not doing any of it. Well, even that which you have will be taken away. It's called God's law of addition and subtraction. Okay, so it's very important that we not only want truth, but we want to add to that. If that is not our attitude, even what we have will in time be taken away. So now let's look at verse 13. Let's keep coming down through the text. What is something else that Jesus says? Well, some in the multitude want to hear and understand. Others do not. Look at verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables. He's now going to tell us why. Why, Jesus, are you speaking in parables? Because seeing, he's talking about the multitude, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They can physically see and physically hear, but it does not go any deeper than that. I believe seeing here is in the sense of opportunity, and hearing is the idea of perception and understanding. They have opportunities, but they do not respond. They see not. They hear sounds, but they hear not. They do not respond. They do not understand. So, because seeing, there's an opportunity here that they could take hold of. They see not. They don't respond. And hearing, they physically hear my words, but they hear not. They don't perceive and understand. Neither do they understand. And so, that's why I'm speaking in parables, because I am not going to force everyone to believe and obey the truth. Here's a great multitude out there. They have to do something. You have to do something. I have to do something. Jesus doesn't spoon feed us. He doesn't open up our mouth and shove it in there and close it and make you be a disciple. When we were parenting and all of ours were really, really little, there's times when you have to do that. Whether it's medicine or whether it's something they need to be eating. I remember times when ours were little, I would make their mouth open, I would shove it in there, I would close their mouth. You know, sometimes you have to do that. And you'll hear, well, and I know it's down now. Okay. But Jesus doesn't do that with us. With regard to His truth, He puts it out there, and then now it's your turn and my turn to respond in some kind of way. Now let's look at verse 14 and 15. Unfortunately, some in the crowd, and there were many Jews, and this is especially true of the scribes and Pharisees. I know from other passages, the common people heard Him gladly, Mark says. But especially the scribes and Pharisees. Look at verse 14 and 15 now. And unto them, these people in the crowd who do not want truth, unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. This is a quotation from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, there's physical hearing going on, and shall in no wise understand. They don't want to know the truth. And seeing you shall see, they can physically see and physically have an opportunity for truth, and shall in no wise perceive. Why? Is it because Jesus' fault? Jesus is being cryptic, and Jesus is being, he's trying to hide His truth in this parable. Is that the problem? No. What's the problem? Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. The older versions say waxed gross. Waxed is to grow. That's not like candle wax, but wax to grow gross, which means hard and thick. It grows hard. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. The fault is in them, not in anything in Jesus. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. Look at that last part, and should turn again. What is that? We call that what? Repentance. They don't want to hear and understand and obey. I want to heal them. I want to give them forgiveness of sins, but they don't want it. So that's why I speak in parables. There are some people who want truth and there are some people who don't. Now look at verse 16. The word but. Look there. But. That's a contrast. Now in verse 16 and 17, Jesus is coming back to the disciples and that small group who want truth. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, not the whole multitude, the small group that wants the truth, you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not. The Old Testament prophets, they looked ahead and it was prophetic. It was like a dim light. Looking at it into the far distant future, they have now all of the reality and truth in Jesus. And so those Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and others, they looked at what was to come, but you're seeing the full effect of the truth of having the Son of God with you. And to hear things which you hear and heard them not. So, the believing disciples then, look at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. That was not given to all the multitude. That was given to those who came apart and Jesus is talking with them. They're now going to be given more truth. And so what we call the parable of the sower, the explanation, verses 19 through 23, that was given to the ones who said, explain this to us. And that's exactly what we have. Look at verse 36. Here's another example of this. Look at Matthew 13, verse 36. Jesus had been speaking not only the parable of the sower, but the man who sowed the tares. The tares are sown, and then the parable of the mustard seed. He'd been talking about the woman with the leaven in the measures of meal. Look at verse 36. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, explain unto us the parable of the tares. Here's another example of moving off apart into a house. It's just the people in the house. Why? Because they asked Jesus for more. You ask Jesus for more, he'll give you more. You don't ask Jesus for more, he's not going to cram it down your throat. And we need to be like these disciples who are asking for more. Give us more. So, the parables then separate the multitudes, the truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. Those who want more from those who don't. Those who have open minds and hearts from those who don't. The people who hear the parables and are truth seekers ask Jesus for more truth. So, let's answer the question then, why did Jesus teach in parables? To reveal truth to those who want it, who want more truth, and to conceal truth simultaneously. It reveals and conceals. It reveals truth to those who want more. It conceals truth from those who don't want more. They simply hear a story and walk away. Now stop and think about that. What kinds of people would be in a crowd of Jesus' day? Well, we know by looking at verses 14 and 15, some in the crowd were just outright hardened. I have no intention of hearing and obeying. I don't want to turn. I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't want to be healed. I'm fine. So there's going to be those who are hardened. There's going to be some who are willfully ignorant. They're fine with their state. There's some who are indifferent. There's some who are outright rebellious. There are some who are antagonistic. There are scribes and Pharisees who hear Jesus and they walk away and say, how can we kill this man? There are those who do not love truth. There are those who believe that they already have the truth, like the scribes and the Pharisees. There's like the rich young ruler. He just walks away. I mean, just walk away. You don't have to do anything with it. What kind are we this morning? What kind of a person are we when there's a Bible class, when there is a sermon, at home, when we're reading our Bible, do we just, well, that's interesting, and walk away? or do we do something with the truth that we are hearing? There are some people in the crowd who hear this story and they just think it's a silly story. Jesus, I was down there by the seaside and Jesus was talking about a guy who was sowing seed. Can you believe that? And he calls himself the Messiah. What was that all about? We all know about seed and farmers who sow seed. And they walk away unimpressed and unchanged. A parable separates those kind of people from those who say, Jesus, can you give us more? Can you explain more to us? It's a way to preserve truth because they can remember these stories. And it's also a way for some to admit truth. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12 and then we'll close this morning. One time Jesus was teaching a parable of the wicked husbandman. Remember that in Mark chapter 12, where the wicked husbandmen who are supposed to be taking care of the vineyard, they're the Jews. And when the landowner sent his son, they beat him and killed him. Look at Mark chapter 12 and verse 12. And they, Jesus had been speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, they sought to lay hold on him, and they feared the multitude. Listen to this. For they perceived that he spake the parable against them. Yep, that's right. He did, and they got the point. Sometimes a parable is a way for people to admit truth when they really don't want to admit it. They get the point, and they don't like it. To reveal truth to those who want it, to conceal truth from those who don't want it. So as we close this morning, I want to ask some questions. Back to Matthew chapter 13. Number one, we all have ears. We all have physical ears. You're all physically hearing my words this morning. They're going into your ears. You hear me speaking. But verse 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're not talking about physical hearing this morning. We're talking about understanding and obeying. When we hear God's word, be it a Bible class, a sermon, at home reading our Bible, do we hear with the intent of understanding and obeying? Or do we walk away unimpressed and unchanged? I think about John in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, at the end of each of the seven churches of Asia, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Do we just look at it and say, oh, that's interesting, and walk away? Or do we, with the intent, obey? Are our hearts hardened like the prophecy of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10? This was applied to unbelieving Jews of Jesus' day, but does it apply to us today where we have eyes and ears, but we don't use them to see and to hear the truths of God's Word? Are we hardened to what is being said? And then, are we a have or a have not? Are we a have or a have not? Back in verse 12, he who hath, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Are we a have where we are a person who wants truth and we want more truth and God will make sure that we get that? Or are we a have not where the Bible class is not important and somebody will say, well, the reason I don't come to Bible class is I just don't get anything out of the Bible class. Ever heard that? I just don't get anything out of the sermon. I would come back on Sunday night, but I just don't get anything out of that. You know, and Larry, he's a fine fellow, but I just don't get anything out of his class. You know, that's why I don't come. I don't come to gospel meetings. I just don't get anything out of it. That's the have not. That's the person who doesn't want more. They're satisfied with a bare minimum. Listen, Jesus said, not me. Jesus said, even what you have will be taken away in time. So we have to be the person who wants more. The have says, give me the Bible. The have not says, I don't get anything out of the Bible class. We're one or the other. And parables would separate those two kinds of people. But brethren, whether we're talking about parables or anything in the New Testament teaching of Christ, we have to have the attitude of wanting more. So this morning, I want to close with three practical ways that we can be a have person, a person who wants more. Number one, turn with me to Luke chapter 8, the parallel account to what we've been looking at this morning. Luke chapter 8. Number one, we need to be active listeners. And this is, if you want to add this to the bottom of your outline, we need to be active listeners. This has happened to me. I'm sure it happens to you from time to time. You're hearing physical words, but you're really not paying attention. That happens to me. Sometimes when I'm watching TV, I'm hearing physical words, but I'm not really paying attention. You can do that with a speech, TV, your parent talking to you, something else. You know, you're hearing physical words, but you're not an active listener. Look at Luke chapter 8 when Jesus explains the parable to his disciples, that smaller group. He goes on to say something else. Look at Luke chapter 8. And what we call the explanation of the parable ends in verse 15. Look at verse 16. And no man, when he hath lighted a lamp, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but putteth it on a stand, that they that enter in may see it. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be made known and come to light. Look at this. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And then he gives what I call this God's law of addition and subtraction. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he thinketh he hath. What is the solution at the beginning of the verse? Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Underscore that in your Bible. He didn't say what. He did that on another occasion. What you hear would have to deal with truth and error. Don't listen to error. Take heed what you hear. That deals with content. This deals with the way in which you're actually listening, how you hear. And if we're not an active listener, where we're alert, we've gotten our rest before we come to the building, we've gotten our rest, we're alert, we're awake, we're actively listening. We might be taking notes. He just said this, I'm going to write that. We're an active listener. It's not just physical words passing through our ears and that's all. Active listening. Number one. Number two, we need to open up our Bibles and actually look at the text. We're very familiar with Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Open up and actually look at the text. And so in Acts 17, when Paul was preaching, and verse 11, examining the Scriptures with readiness of mind, there's your first point, listening carefully, with readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. They got the scrolls. Let me look at it in the scroll. Paul said something about an Old Testament prophet. He said that yesterday in the synagogue. I want to look at, can you open up that scroll and let me examine the Scripture? You got to look at it. And that's going to help us be someone who wants more and learns and perceives and understands. And then number three, we have to ask questions. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Ask questions about the text. You heard something, ask a question about that. You read something in the Bible, ask a question about that. That's how we learn. These three things, active listener, looking at the text in our Bible, and asking questions, will keep us from being that person who's just unimpressed and unchanged, and that was kind of interesting, and I walk away. Do you remember when Philip was preaching to the eunuch? Let's read Acts chapter 8, verse 30. I want to say something about reading the text here. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Have you ever noticed this in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? And Philip ran to him and, what does it say? Heard him reading. Did you ever notice that in the story? He wasn't reading silently. He heard him reading. Now stop and think about this a minute. What happens when you're at home and you read out loud? You ever thought about what that does to you? Try this. Maybe try it this afternoon. Go home and just get a favorite passage of Scripture. And instead of just reading it with your eyes, speak it. Speak it out loud. You might, well, that's silly. Nobody's around. I do that in my office back here. I read out loud. Read out loud. You can do it at home. Why was he reading out loud? What's the benefit of that? Well, when you read out loud, do you know that you actually slow down and read and perceive better? Your eyes can scan something, just going boom, boom, but your eyes can scan down through. If you'll stop and read out loud, it'll slow you down, for one. And number two, when you hear words that your eyes are seeing, you're paying attention more about that type of thing. And number three, it actually helps you to remember. You'll be driving down the road 2 days later and you'll remember what you spoke out loud 3 days ago. It helps you to remember things. So it makes you slow down. When you're hearing it, you're actually perceiving better what is being read there. And number three, you remember it longer. But it's interesting. He was reading out loud. But that's not the point I want to make. Look at this. Verse 31. And he said, or Philip said to him, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except one guide me?" And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. He's a have. I'm reading, but I want more. Why don't you come on up here and help me to understand that? We need to be like that. So verses 32 and 33, Philip reads this quotation from Isaiah 53. Now look at verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this? Of himself or some other?" Ask questions. The eunuch wasn't reading, and when Philip started explaining that, he said, "Oh, that's interesting. Hey, look out there in the desert. Did you see that cow over there? That's kind of interesting." Unimpressed, unchanged. No, he said, "I want to know more." He wasn't looking out the chariot, watching what was going by. I got a question. This man that you read about, look at verse 32 and 33. "He was led as a sheep. He opened not his mouth. He was taken away." The eunuch says, "He." Well, who is that? Is that Isaiah? Is that somebody else? Other people would have said, "Well, I don't care anything about that. I'm just trying to get back to Ethiopia, you know. I want to know more." So always ask questions. There's no question that's too dumb, you know. Well, so somebody might think that's a dumb question. No, ask questions. That's how we learn. Look at the text and always listen carefully and critically. And that'll separate us. We will have that open-minded attitude, that truth-seeking attitude. Well, the lesson is yours. We've answered the question, why did Jesus teach in parables? To separate the truth-seekers from the curiosity-seekers. And we want to be a truth-seeker this morning. There may be someone that needs to respond to the gospel this morning. Knowing the truth, it is now time that you want to turn and come and be healed. You have to actively see with your eyes, hear with your ears, turn and come and receive the healing that Jesus has planned. And if we can assist you in doing that this morning, we would encourage you to do that. And for the rest, I would say, be a truth seeker and keep ourselves from slumping into that situation where week in and week out, we hear things. I hear Larry, Larry kind of just drones on up there. You know, he's just kind of going on, and Chris is kind of just going on, and I hear some things and just going through the motions. But always be an active hearer and truth seeker, and it will change our lives for the better. And even at home, when we read our Bibles at home with that attitude, we will have changed lives and we will be better Christians. If we can help you to respond to the gospel in some way this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?